This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and move on without a transition because I don't want to put her in a weird spot. Mary Kay Cabot joins us on the show. Hello.
Yes, thank you for moving on from that. I didn't know where he was going with that either, so you know, I appreciate that.
That's the beauty of tone, Mary Kay. None of us really know. We don't know where J.J. Watt's going to go. There it is. That's a transition. Award winners over here. Mary Kay, what's the latest you know about J.J. Watt and his future, possibly with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, the latest that I know is that he is really enjoying the theater and the show out there. He's having fun. With all the social media stuff going on, as you guys saw yesterday, he tweeted out that free agency is wild, and he's been getting a lot of love from Cleveland, and I know that he has been enjoying that. But in terms of where he's going to end up, it's still up in the air right now. And I wrote the other day that he was seriously considering the Browns. I didn't write that the Browns were his number one choice. I wrote he was seriously considering the Browns because they do have a lot of what he wants. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want to go to Green Bay or some of these other places that he has on his radar as well. But the Browns are in the mix, and I think that's a good place for them to be right now.
Mary Kay, should Illuminaries – sorry, Anthony, I put you in a bad spot there. Should Illuminaries be tweeting to J.J. Watt? Should they be trying to reach out to J.J. Watt? Or I should say Luminaries, not Illuminaries. Should they be reaching out to him to try to bring him to Cleveland?
Well, I think right now at this point, because he's a free agent, he can have conversations with anybody. And, if I were Myles Garrett, I would probably be reaching out to J.J. Watt and telling him how much he enjoys playing for Joe Woods and Kevin Stefanski and how, what the culture is like here. Because it's different. This is different now. The message that can be sent forth to free agents is vastly different than it was even just a couple of years ago. So I think that it's incumbent upon the Browns players to get that word out to some of their colleagues in the league to say, Browns is not the Browns.
Mary Kay, I think that's very interesting. In the NBA, it's always, hey, it's this guy's team or that guy's team. In fact, it looked like James Harden went to Brooklyn, deferred at first with Kyrie just to make him feel comfortable, and now it's pretty clear that he's the point guard and Kyrie's not going to be the point guard. We saw this with LeBron and Dwayne Wade. In the NFL, can there be multiple leaders on the defense? We know this is Myles Garrett's defense, right? But can that defense, can that room, can that line, can it be big enough for the two of those guys?
Oh, absolutely, yes, 100%. And there have been other defenses that have had two star edge rushers like that on it, and it's ideal for both of them. I think Myles would recognize and understand that having a J.J. Watt around would take a lot of heat and pressure off of him and help him maximize his potential, maybe even become that NFL Defensive Player of the Year that he wants to be. I think J.J. would be a great mentor for him and for others on the defense. I just think there are so many reasons why it makes a lot of sense.
Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Where would the quarterback position weigh in on a free agent like J.J. Watt? Because they're all going to be looking for teams that have adequate quarterback play, but where do you think that ranks right now?
It's very high on the list. It's very, very high on his list. And I've been writing what his list is for a few days now, or three or four days, ever since he got released, really, I've kind of known what he was looking for. And quarterback is way, way up there. And that is also another reason why the Browns are still on the list. There's nothing that has eliminated them yet. They have money. They have a quarterback. They have the potential to contend for a Super Bowl. They have a good supporting cast, and they have a good culture. Those are all things he's looking for. And I think the fact that Baker Mayfield really kind of, you know, just put himself on the NFL map last year means a lot.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Let me go to OBJ here. I keep getting a lot of folks who go, Ken, the second half of the season was so much better. You can trade OBJ. I got so many fans saying that. Do they not realize that NFL general managers may have the same conversation, and if they want to trade for OBJ, then they just feel it will work out better? Why do some fans want to trade this guy?
Well, you know, because if you look just at the numbers, it would seem that all of a sudden the Browns offense got better without OBJ. But that's not necessarily a cause and effect proposition there. I think that Baker Mayfield got better as the coaching staff got to know him better, and vice versa. They figured out, you know, let's get him out more on keepers. Let's use more play action. Let's use Rashard Higgins more. And things just went better for everybody involved. Let's run the ball more. So I don't think it was, oh, hey, OBJ leaves the lineup and all of a sudden Baker Mayfield gets really good. I don't think that's it. But having said that, I do think, and I probably let this started because I wrote 2 weeks ago that they would have to consider trading OBJ. It was 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think that I think they do have to consider that because of a number of reasons, including his $15.75 million salary. I mean, do you really want to have or need to have $30 million tied up in two receivers when really you're an offense that's going to be spreading the ball around a ton and there's not even enough footballs to go around?
Mary Kay, what do you think of that wide receiver room if they hold on to OBJ? What do you think that wide receiver room looks like, and how much of it do you think they're going to address in the draft or in free agency, knowing that most think they're probably not going to have both Jarvis and Odell beyond this year?
Well, if they hang on to OBJ, which is obviously still a very strong possibility, then they have a really good receiver room. Donovan Peoples-Jones is really coming into his own. They finally figured out that Rashard Higgins has value and gets open and catches touchdown passes. I think Donovan is poised to take a big jump this year. They'll probably still add some in free agency or in the draft as well, but those guys would still form the cornerstone of the receiving core. And, you know, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. I'm curious about what went on yesterday in Pittsburgh. Boy, it didn't seem like much of a endorsement to Ben Roethlisberger when the GM decided to talk. I've never heard anything like that in Pittsburgh. What did you think of those comments? And do you think there's a chance that Big Ben is not the quarterback of the Steelers this year?
Yeah, I think Kevin Colbert made that pretty clear yesterday that, you know, that it's not written in stone that Ben is coming back. He was very noncommittal. And it was kind of similar to what, in some ways, what Sean McVay said about Jared Goff. And these are people, coaches, personnel men that, you know, that want to set forth expectations. They don't want a soundbite of them saying a month from now, you know, on a loop, here you were saying that you would never trade Ben Roth or that you would never let go of Ben Roethlisberger or you would never let go of Jared Goff. They're being honest, basically. They have to sit down with these players and figure out what they're going to do. And as you know, Ben has a $41.5 million cap hit for next year. I mean, that straps the whole team. There's nothing that you can do. But beyond that, he's willing to renegotiate that. Beyond that, they have to decide, is he their starting quarterback? And if they don't feel like he is, then they absolutely have to move on and soon to give him another opportunity.
How close of attention should we be paying to the Von Miller situation in Denver?
Well, I think it's one to keep an eye on. I mean, I would say that any really good proven pass rusher with consistent sack production year in and year out is somebody that the Browns will have to take a look at. And they demonstrated last year that they will do that. Andrew Berry has already shown us some things. And one of those things is he's willing to pay for edge rushers. He was going to pay Jadeveon Clowney, over $17 million last year for one season. So he'll shell out the bucks for somebody that can get to the quarterback, and Von certainly can.
So what are the chances, though? I mean, we're talking about some big names here. Von Miller's a huge name. Obviously, J.J. Watt's a huge name. What about Olivier Vernon? Does he mix in now after that big injury he suffered late in the season?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Olivier Vernon should be commended for coming back and having the season that he did last year in the last nine games with those nine sacks. That was tremendous, and the Browns really needed it when Myles Garrett was struggling to come back from COVID-19. So good for him. The incredibly unfortunate thing is that he suffered that ruptured Achilles tendon, and at his age, that's going to be a really, really hard injury to come back from, especially quickly. So who knows exactly when he'll be back. It's usually 9 to 12 months of a recovery. So I'm not even sure he'll be ready to play this season. I don't think anybody really knows that yet. So they absolutely have to look around. Now, if not for that injury, I think they would have re-signed him.
Mary Kay, you start to see some teams restructure contracts, and the Browns don't necessarily need to be in that position given the cap space they do have this year. But if they're looking down the road, maybe this is the start of some of those conversations. Sheldon Richardson, is that somebody who both sides could look at to try to figure something out? Because I thought Sheldon had a great year, and there's only 1 year left on that deal.
Yeah, he did have a great year. And if they look at him as someone that they want around for a while, and of course now he's starting to get up there a little bit too, but if they feel that he has some left in the tank for the next 3 or 4 years, then it would be time to give him a little bit more upfront money and extend that contract. He could be somebody that they will talk about doing that with in the offseason.
Mary Kay, I got another question for you. We're 70 days away from the draft. Do you have any idea where they could go at 26? Because it's starting to be debated here about the linebackers and, well, analytics doesn't pay that close of attention to linebackers. The position's been devalued over the last couple of years. You got anything? You got any crumbs here? Because he's a young general manager, and I just don't know yet.
Well, first of all, you can't really know at 26 because, you know, there are just way too many variables by the time you get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a pool of players that you feel will go in that range. But here's the thing. I don't think people should be tied to defense at that pick. Do not get yourself locked into a linebacker or any other position there. I mean, look, if by chance they do find some kind of a trade partner for OBJ, and again, I'm not trying to speak that into existence. I just think that people should be aware that it could happen this year, whereas last year it wasn't going to happen. So in the event that something like that takes place, then you might look at a receiver there. This is a pretty darn good wide receiver class in the draft, as well as in free agency.
Mary Kay, you know if they take a wide receiver at 26, tomorrow morning, I could probably just fall asleep and wake up at 5:56 before the show and just do the show because I think it'll be done for me.
Well, think about this, though. You have to think about this, too. If, let's say, by then they've signed a J.J. Watt or, you know, somebody like that, a Trey Hendrickson, whatever, that can come in here and rush the passer, and they're getting Grant Delpit back, and Andrew Billings is coming back, and they sign a linebacker in free agency, and they fill some of those holes. And if, like I said, that could happen in the event that they move Odell, which, again, at this point, I don't know what the percentages of that are happening. I don't know if it's 20, 30. I'm not saying it's 90% chance that'll happen. But if that does happen, they'd have to look at a receiver there in the first round.
Okay, that's fair. Mary Kay, one final question. This comes from my friend Anthony Lima. If you have a friend who is bragging or mentions that they've won in the stock market, Lima, you say it better. You ask. I want to get her opinion on it. Please, go ahead.
Whether it's stock market, whether it's Bitcoin or some type of cryptocurrency, or the new trend that is sweeping the land, which is digital sports cards. If they are bragging about that, do you give them credit if they're winning money, making a lot of money? Are you giving them credit, or are you telling them, please, please stop? I don't want to hear about this every day.
It depends on how close of a friend it is. If it's one of your best friends, cheer them on, and tell them to have at it and to keep going and to share their secrets with you. If it's somebody that you don't know very well, tell them that you'd rather talk about the Browns.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and to yours.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Would you like me to update right now the poll, Kay?
Please, please do.
Because this is something else, and this is absolutely surprising me right now, because I put that poll out very early in the morning, and a bunch of people are saying my followers are a bunch of haters. Right now, over 1,500 votes.
What?
Close to 70% are saying muting them on everything, meaning they don't want to hear it, while only 30% seem to be supporting their friends who are making money. Is that a jealousy thing?
Could it be anything else? I'm hemming and hawing over here because it's the truth.
Your friends might just be annoying. Like, we do have some friends in our lives, Kenny, who hit us up every time they make money on sports betting, but we never hear from them when they're losing money.
Well, no one wants to tell anybody about the losses. Everybody wants to tell about the wins.
But the losses are the better story.
Even though in sports it's weird because you usually pay attention to the losses way more than you pay attention to the wins. Isn't that nuts?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset by things like that. Like, if Kenny Kidd came into a tremendous windfall of shiny money,
I wouldn't tell a soul.
You wouldn't tell me?
No.
Why?
Why would I tell anyone?
Well, would you tell? That's the old age old question. Do you tell your neighbors? Do
it's
you
like
tell?
If you win the lottery, or you know, you get a big inheritance, why would you tell anyone?
You wouldn't tell me.
Probably not. Maybe eventually.
It is a tough thing, Kenny.
I've already moved.
It is really tough because there are so many considerations on something like that. Because something like that is only going to build a rift between you and certain friends.
It can. It certainly can.
216-578-0092. Do you want to mute somebody for sharing their success? I don't think I'd want to do something like that. I can't believe all you people online, you have different followers than me. I have supportive people who follow me. Jason Lloyd, who's very unsupportive of the Cavs, he joins us at 9. It's Ken Garman with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.